Well, welcome to our Sunday morning service. My name is Ben. I serve as the pastor of this church, and it is great to be with you this morning for this time of worship to God. And we come to God because God has given us a great invitation. Isaiah 55 verse 1, come, God says, come all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. The invitation is come, the promise is soul refreshment. And let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning to worship you, to give you the glory and the honour and the praise that you deserve from us. And we come because we are thirsty and hungry, because we need filling, because we need you to speak to us, to work in us, to comfort, challenge and to change us. So please bless our time now, we pray. Be glorified by us and be good to us, we ask. Amen. Well, our first song this day is All Creatures of Our God and King. All Creatures of Our God and King. Well, in our current lockdown days, some family games are seeing the light of day more than normal. And the other day, one of these lucky games was Linky. It's not a complicated game. Four questions are read out. Four answers are secretly written down by you. Then you have to link your four answers together to establish the theme and gain a card. So try this one, which I'll read you now, which I struggled with the other day, which is a bit embarrassing because it's from Dinky, which is the children's version of Linky. So here we go. First question. Children often keep their pocket money in a bank shaped like a pig called a what bank? And question number two. The Disney film about a computer game character is called Wreck-It something. Wreck-It what? No complaining, adults. It's a children's talk. Number three. Is a jellyfish a plant or an animal? And number four. Sorry. Is a jellyfish a plant or an animal? And number four. Which amphibian, whose legs are eaten as a delicacy in France, starts life as a tadpole? So an amphibian, the French eats its legs, sounds nice, and it starts life as a tadpole. So you should have four answers, and your four answers should be piggy bank, Ralph, as in Wreck-It Ralph, animal, because a jellyfish is not a plant, it's an animal. And frog, because the amphibian whose legs are eaten in France and starts the tadpole is a frog. So there's your four answers. Piggy, Ralph, animal and frog. What links them is the question. That's the game, Linky. You can all tell each other. And the clue is they're famous puppets called the Muppets. Yeah. So there we go, that's Linky, but this is church, so let's try Bible Linky. Okay, so first question, again, four questions coming. First question, this is essential for sandwiches. Second question, if you have muddy feet, you should wipe them on a what mat? If you have muddy feet, you wipe them on a something mat. Third question, the opposite of heavy. Fourth question, where grapes come from. So you should have four answers again. Essential for sandwiches is bread, it's number one. Muddy feet, wipe them on a doormat, number two, door. The opposite of heavy, light. And where grapes come from, vine. Yeah, bread, door, light and vine. And the link is what? So there's your four: bread, door, light, and vine. What's the Bible link? Jesus. Yeah, they're all names of Jesus, or things Jesus uses to describe himself. So he says, I am the door. I am the bread of life. And it sounds a little bit funny, doesn't it? Because who says, I am bread, or I am a door? Well, Jesus does. And over the next few weeks, we'll find out why and what he means. But Jesus has other names as well. So he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the good shepherd. And all these many things are to show who Jesus is. And not what he looks like, but what he is like. See, if you try to draw Jesus as a door and as bread and also as a shepherd and also as a vine and all the others, you'd end up with a very funny picture. It's one of the reasons God says we shouldn't make a statue or try and draw a picture of him. It won't work. It's not possible. But when we look into each picture of Jesus in the Bible, and when we hear him say, I am the door, or I am the light of the world, and all these other things, and we link them together, we see more and more how wonderful Jesus is, how he is all things for us. So that's what we're going to be doing over the next few weeks, looking at the I am statements of Jesus and linking them together to see how wonderful Jesus is. And it's a good time to sing a song about God being all things for us. So good time to stop the recording and sing. You are my strength when I am weak. You are my all in all, the song says. So we begin a new series today in John's Gospel, looking at the I am statements of Jesus, and we're going to have a reading, or two readings now. Some of you will know that the passage from John chapter 4, about Jesus and living water is not officially one of the seven I am sayings of Jesus. But as a helpful way into John and an important truth for us, I've chosen to have it as our first one this Sunday. But before Michael reads to us the record of what took place by a well in John chapter 4, if you have a Bible, please open it to an earlier passage also about living water, and that is found in Jeremiah chapter 2. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 12. If you have a church Bible, it's page 757. So we're going to have two readings now. First from Jeremiah chapter 2, a short reading, and then Michael's going to read pretty much the whole of John chapter 4. So Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. Be appalled at this, you heavens, and shudder with great horror, declares the Lord. My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water.
A reading from John chapter 4, verses 1 to 30, which is page 1066 in the Church Bible. Now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although, in fact, it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshippers must worship in the Spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, I am he." Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I've ever done. Could this be the Messiah?" They came out of the town and made their way towards him. And reading a bit further down from verse 39, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I've ever done." So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Saviour of the world."
Well, I'm going to use some verses from the Psalms to guide our prayers now. So please join with me in your heart as I pray, and we'll use the Psalms to help us. Psalm 119, verse 36. "Incline my heart to your testimonies, and not to selfish gain. Heavenly Father, peel us away from self-preoccupation, we pray. Incline our hearts, bend our hearts, our wills, our loves to you and your word, and not to ourselves and our wants. So we pray, Father, that your name would be hallowed. Lord, you are holy, but we want your name to be holy in this world, to be seen as great and wonderful as you are. And we want your name to be holy in our lives. We want to treat you as holy. Help us to do that. And incline our hearts to the glory of Christ, we pray. Would we not seek our own glory, not think of ourselves more than we ought, but may we see the glory of Christ and worship him. Psalm 119, verse 18. Open my eyes to see wondrous things in your law. Heavenly Father, would you, by the work of your Spirit in us, unblind us to the treasure that you have given us in your word. And we pray that we would know great joy in looking at your word together. We would know great joy in knowing Christ to be our soul's delight and satisfaction. We pray that we would long for the advance of the gospel. We pray that would be our desire, that we would long to see your word, your law going out and going into people's hearts and people's eyes being opened to see the good news of Jesus, the wonderful life-giving water that he brings. So we pray for the salvation of sinners, and in this season we find ourselves in, we pray, Lord, that you would bring about salvation in people's lives. You would cause people to for their eyes to be opened in these difficult days and to long for you. And Lord, we pray that you would unblind those people who do not see. You would open deaf ears and you would save people. Psalm 86, verse 11. Unite my heart to fear your name. Heavenly Father, please stop our hearts from drifting. Cause us, Lord, to be firmly on the path that you have set before us, the path Jesus Christ took. Lord, would you please help us not to wander. Help us not to have divided hearts, distracted hearts, but united hearts that love you, that live under you. So, Lord, we confess our sin to you. We pray, Lord, that you would convict us of our sin, that we would feel the weightiness of our wrongdoing towards you in heart and mind and actions, words. Lord, would you bring great conviction? Would we be trembling before you in our sin in the right way, because it's so serious? We pray for a longing to be pure. We pray for a longing for our hearts to be holy. We pray for a longing for godliness, that we would just love living under your word, that we would live in the fear of you, knowing that you, Lord, see and you will judge, and you as our creator are worthy of our praise. And we pray that we would live that way and with joy and live, Lord, holy lives. And lastly, Psalm 90, verse 14. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love. Heavenly Father, let your love towards us in Christ be the joy of our often restless hearts, our often worried and anxious hearts. Would your love, would your mercy and grace satisfy us right now? Would you speak to us? Would you enable us peace and comfort? And we pray, Lord, that you would particularly comfort your people and all people at the moment who are struggling in this difficult time, who are grieving. And we pray for our own, particularly who are grieving and in particular need of comfort. Lord, we pray that they would know satisfaction in you. They would know security. they would know and experience your steadfast love. We pray, Lord, for each one of us, for the work of your Spirit. We pray for the fullness of your Spirit, for that life-giving spring of living water to be in us, flowing fast and with power, not a trickle. But Lord, we pray we would avail ourselves to the work of the Spirit in our lives. We thank you for new life you've given to your people. Now help us to live it. Help us to love it and to long. And we want more. We pray, Lord, that you would fill us more and cause us to love you and to serve you and to obey you and to live as your people. So thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers. We do ask, Lord, that you would bless us and help us. And we praise you for answering us. Amen. Well, there's a couple of songs to sing before we look into God's word together. And the first song is about longing and water. And the second song particularly about the Spirit. So we're linking water and the Spirit in these two songs. As the deer pants for the water from the Psalms, and Holy Spirit, living breath of God. Well, we come to the sermon now, and I remember when my brother-in-law Martin came and visited us a couple of years back, how he began his talk by saying, "I am a brilliant evangelist." Yep, I'm a brilliant evangelist of lots of things. The latest book I'm reading, some funny clip I've seen on YouTube. I'm a brilliant good news teller of things I get excited about. And it was a point well made, and it's true, isn't it? We are all evangelists of many things, except often the thing or the person. Now, we began this morning hearing God saying in Isaiah 55, "Come, all you who are thirsty." And now in John chapter 4, verse 29, we read of the woman saying to the townspeople, "Come, come and see a man." And chapter 4, verse 39 says that many Samaritans believed in Jesus because of the woman's testimony. And witness and testimony is one of the big themes of John's gospel. We see that in the prologue in chapter 1 and at the end of verse 8. It says, "He came as a witness to the light." And chapter 1, verse 15, "John testified." And then chapter 1, verse 18, at the very end, it says the end of verse 18, "has made him known." Back to verse 7 of chapter 1, "he came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe." And that's the aim of witness and testimony in John's gospel, that we might believe in Jesus. That is John's occasion or purpose for writing. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 20. There's a key verse for the book of John. John chapter 20, verse 31. It's very helpful when an author tells us why they're writing. John says, "These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." And so we are spending a few weeks looking at the I am statements of Jesus, looking not for information, but for transformation, so that we may hear and believe and have life. Let me pray again briefly as we get into this passage. Heavenly Father, as we open your good news account to us from John, we pray that you would help us to see, to hear, to understand, and to engage with your word, that we might have life. Life in all abundance. Not the kind of life that we seek to live now on a treadmill, a lower version, but Lord, life to the full. Life as you want us to live. So Spirit, please speak to us. Please flow into us through your word. So let it not be simply a human voice we hear, but your voice speaking to us now and changing us, we pray. Amen. Well, my title this morning is I Am Thirsty. And three subtitles are a drink, a spring, and a thirst. So firstly, a drink. Verse 7 of chapter 4 in John, Jesus asks for a drink. It's a hot country. He's travelling north from Judea to Galilee, taking a break from the Pharisees, it seems. But he's in Samaria, which for a Jew is enemy territory, really, which is why, as we see from verse 9, that the woman is shocked that he would speak to her. She says, well, you're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan. But Jesus is tired and he's thirsty. The disciples have gone shopping into town, needs must. And along comes this Samaritan woman. And two things make her well visit unusual. She's alone, which for safety and community reasons was strange. And also it's noon, normally quiet time at the well. Both things suggest she is an outcast. But Jesus asked for a drink, and I guess she knew Jesus was a Jew from his clothes, maybe the way he talked. Perhaps it's a bit like us knowing if a northerner is in town, certainly if a Scot was with us. Whatever, she knew, and she knew this was not done. How can you ask me for a drink? Not only because she was a woman, but also a Samaritan woman, who sadly the Jews considered less than real people. But through the gospel, we see that Jesus speaks to anyone and everyone. So chapter 3 in John, it's Nicodemus. And he's a man, devout, religious, respected, coming at night. Chapter 4, it's a Samaritan woman, deviant, despised, rejected, coming at noon. Many Christians can't talk to both types of people. We'll lean towards the learned or to a person of the people. But Jesus talks and lovingly confronts everyone and anyone he meets. You need to be born again, and you need living water. And it's great news. No matter who you are, what walk of life you are from, Jesus is interested in you and has something to say to you. You can't be good enough or bad enough. No person is too altogether or too broken. So whether you're morally acceptable or morally detestable or somewhere in between, Jesus comes to save all. We see that chapter 3, verse 15. You see it, it's on the same page in the church Bible. Everyone, 3 verse 15, everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. And chapter 3, verse 36. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. And chapter 4, verse 39, many of the Samaritans from that town believed. And verse 42, and it says, verse 42, we know, this is at the end, we know that this man really is the Saviour of the world. Jesus is the Saviour of the world. Jesus is the great news of the gospel. He is the gospel. But the woman doesn't know this yet. So she is surprised when Jesus says to her in verse 10, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. So the second point is a spring. And the lady is confused, thinking that Jesus is talking of a physical spring. She's kind of sort of, what? You sort of, hang on, I thought you were the thirsty one, and now you're offering me a drink. And how? You don't have a bucket. The well's deep. How are you going to provide water, let alone spring water, living water? Are you greater than Jacob? Are you going to dig a well right now? Her tone is kind of, no way. You know, who do you think you are? If you knew who you were speaking to, Jesus says. I mean, that's quite a thing to say, isn't it? Who speaks like that? Either someone who's an egomaniac or the Messiah. And here is the Son of God and the mystery of the incarnation. Jesus is thirsty, but he is also the fountain of living water. We bought a new fridge a few months back. And it has an ice and water dispenser on the outside, which takes normal tap water and turns it into chilled, seemingly magical water. Ice cold, ice cubes, crushed ice as well. For some, it feels like the water they need most of all. Not just water, but magic water. But what is this water which Jesus is pushing this woman to understand? Well, look at verses 13 and 14. Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again." So he's pointing at the well. Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. "But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." So Jesus is sort of saying, forget the well for a minute and forget my drink. Let me tell you about a water which I can give, a water which never runs out, and more, which can flow within you. A water which can come from your own mini spring inside. And he's talking about spiritual life. He's talking about the soul-satisfying, heart-quenching presence and flow of the Holy Spirit, who fully and eternally satisfies people. Now, Jesus is full of the Spirit, and he comes to pour out God the Holy Spirit, third person of the Trinity, onto people, into people. So look across in your Bibles, it's on the same page in mine again, to chapter 3, verse 34. Chapter 3, verse 34. "For the one whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God gives the Spirit," implication, "to him without limit." For the one whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God gives to him the Spirit without limit. God gives the Holy Spirit, gave the Holy Spirit, and this is at his baptism, and the dove came down to Jesus without measure. So Jesus is full, like no other person, past, present, or future, full and flowing with the Holy Spirit in all fullness, without measure. He is the spring of living water, and he gives his life, the Spirit's life, to believers, so that all people joined to Jesus, those who have him, who are connected to him, come to this when we come to the vine, won't we? But all those connected have their own spring of life from which they can drink of God and salvation, fulfillment, satisfaction, peace, direction, all the other wonderful things that it means to know God living in his people. If you turn over three pages to chapter 7 of John's Gospel and verse 37, we see this clearly as well. So chapter 7 of John, verse 37 to 39. "On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, 'Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them.' By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified." Jesus is the fulfillment of the many Old Testament scriptures which speak of a day, God says in Joel 2, verse 28, "When I will pour out my Spirit on all people." Of a person, Psalm 36, verse 9 says, "Who is the fountain of life." So Isaiah 12, verse 3 says, "With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation." You will. And Ezekiel sees that day as well in chapter 47, a day when a river flows from God's temple. It begins as a trickle and then floods the land, bringing immense life and vitality, flourishing. The Spirit in the Old Testament came upon some people sometimes, but was outside the people, He was in the temple, like a well from which people had to draw in worship. But now Jesus says to this woman, I come to give the Holy Spirit to you, to bring his new life in you, a spring of him, the living water. So do we see back in verse 10 of chapter 4 of John, why Jesus says, if only you knew who asks you for a drink, if only you knew that the thirsty man by the well is actually a fountain of eternal life. So you see the reversal in John 4, Jesus, the thirsty man by the well, is actually the well of salvation. So what are we to do? Well, a command Jesus gives more than any other, or equal, I think, roughly with prayer, is ask. Ask, 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 comes up again and again through the Gospels. Because first, we ask. Because it's not what we can give to God, but what we need God to give to us. So if we know the gift Jesus is to the world, to us, if we know what he gives, we wouldn't ask him for a cup of water or a bathtub or even a swimming pool, but for oceans. Ask him, because through Jesus flows God's reservoir of life, giving water, and it is never exhausted. That's a wonderful truth, isn't it? Remember what James says in his letter, chapter 4, you don't have because you don't ask. And Jesus says as well, ask and you shall receive. But why don't we ask? Is it because we're a bit like this woman? We don't really know who Jesus is or what he gives. Is he just a thirsty man in our view, trying to kind of get some support going for God in this world? What does it say if we're never asking Jesus for the Spirit? Well, non-asking is a sign of unbelief. Because if we know the gift of God, if we know who Jesus is, if we know what he gives, we would ask, and we would ask, and we would keep asking. And verse 15, look, the woman asks, and she says in verse 15, Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. In this sort of back and forth conversation, it's hard to tell what the lady understands and what she doesn't. But one thing she knows, one important thing she knows, is that she is thirsty. So last point, a thirst. Verse 15, Sir, give me this water. And Jesus says, okay, but go call your husband and come back. And there's a change. She moves from chatty to blunt, I have no husband. Jesus replies, you're right, you've had five, and the present one is not your husband. Perhaps the first five husbands died, natural causes, perhaps not. What is Jesus doing? It was a nice conversation, wasn't it? It seemed to be going so well, and then it seems almost cruel to just dig into this woman's biggest wound like this. But now we know for sure why she came to the well on her own at noon. For shame, she was trying to hide, wasn't she, to avoid the stares and the whispers. So Jesus gets straight to the space in her which is most tender, which hurts, which she is seeking to hide, which he only can do something about, which he has come to heal. And no doubt at this moment she was kind of clamming up internally, sort of feelings running riot, maybe tears beginning to build in her eyes, because this is where she's ultra vulnerable. So from bluntness, we see verse 20, she seeks a diversion. Well, let's talk about worship, politics, temple locations. She wants away from painful personal issues. She wants to talk about generalities. But Jesus patiently steers the conversation back to the heart. Yes, the place of worship is important, even more so than you realize, because worship is coming home. The time is coming, Jesus says, and has now come in me, implication, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, in the spirit, because I'm bringing him and the life-giving water I bring. And he brings truthful living, which is your pain, which is your prison now, he's saying to the lady. And she says, verse 25, yes, I know the Messiah is coming. And when he does, he will explain all. And then Jesus declares, I, the one speaking to you, I am he. And Jesus reveals who he is to her. And it's the first time he's done this. The first time he's revealed himself. And it is to a Samaritan woman. That is excellent. Savior of the world. And leaving the water jar, and Jesus still parched, she heads back into town. No more hiding. And she says to the people, come and see a man. And they're probably thinking, well, here we go again. But no, come and meet this man who told me everything I've done. Could it be the Messiah? And many believed. And Jesus extended his trip to 2 days and many more believed. So who was the woman at the well? She was a real woman. We don't have her name. But she is also really all of us. Because which of us isn't vulnerable, tender areas of our lives that we love to hide? Who of us isn't unsatisfied or left unsatisfied because of the way we live and the way we try and quench our souls first? Perhaps like the woman in relationships, seeking validation from others, and in so many other ways. What might Jesus say to us if we were to say to him, Jesus, give me this water? What might he say? Well, okay, go and get your computer. Jesus, give me this water. Okay, well, go and get your bank statement. Jesus, give me this water. Okay, go and get your diet and exercise plan. What would he say to you? We're all looking for satisfaction in something, some things, people perhaps. We all restlessly dig wells in search, don't we, of meaning. And we're all tender, we're all vulnerable, we're all ashamed with things we want to hide about ourselves. Because what links all people is that we all drink from broken, polluted springs which leave us unsatisfied, which leave us impure, facing eternal separation from God rather than eternal life, which we so desperately need. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, says God through Isaiah. But in Jeremiah chapter 2, which I read earlier, God looks upon his people in horror and dismay because they have forsaken God, the spring of living water, and have instead dug their own wells. And God says to his people, what are you doing? Why are you digging and drawing water from over there? And from broken cisterns? And why are you collecting water with broken cisterns only to have it run out? That is not how to live. You just end up restless, running here and there in life, seeking a satisfaction which you will not find looking in those places. You're not living, you're not even half living. If only you knew. So God sends his son to save, to forgive, to bring life. So Jesus stands with a loud voice and says, anyone thirsty? Thirsty? Come to me and drink. So the lady says, chapter 4, come and see a man. And the call is exactly the same today in this thirsty world. It's straight to you and to me. Jesus says, come to me. For the first time, or maybe for the thousandth time, come you who are weary, worn out from your hiding. Come you who are vulnerable and hurting. Come you lost and you who are looking. Come you who are ashamed. Come you who are frustrated and confused. Come you thirsty to me and find rest for your soul. Find forgiveness and true eternal satisfaction. You don't need money. You don't need to be somebody or even to have somebody come with you. You don't need to be in the right group or have the right look or worship at a certain place. Just come to me thirsty and ask, and I will give you living water. You might know lots about the Bible and about Jesus, or you may know very little. But all you need to know to be saved is that you are thirsty and Jesus has living water. Amen. A verse in our last song includes these words. Though my weary feet may stumble, though my soul may thirsty be, coming from the rock before me, there a spring of joy I see. Hebrews tells us the rock is Christ. Do take time to sing that song in a moment or listen to it. And take some time to pray over the questions. It's been great to be with you today. Before I pray to close, here are the questions for reflection and prayer. Are you satisfied? Now, don't duck it. Be completely honest with your heart. Secondly, what do you thirst for the most? Take time to analyze that. And again, be honest with your soul. Are you satisfied? What do you thirst for the most? And thirdly, how can you receive and live on the living water Jesus offers? How can you receive the living water? And how can you live on the living water that Jesus is talking about in John chapter 4? Well, let's pray to close. Heavenly Father, how misguided we are, how foolish and wayward, and how missing out we are that we would seek broken wells, broken cisterns that leave us broken and leave us thirsty. Father, we thank you for Jesus. Praise you that you sent him who says, come to me. And show us him more, we pray, that we would know what Jesus has for each one of us. Jesus, we praise you for coming. We praise you for what you did on the cross in giving your life, forgiving our sins, in ascending to heaven and sending the Spirit that we might live on your life, on your love, on the Spirit in us, flowing into us and through us out to others. We pray that we would long for this satisfying, fulfilled life which you offer. We pray that we would know it and grow in it. Please keep this word on our hearts. Help us to meditate over the questions. Help us to be honest with our own hearts. Help us to diligently seek you, we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.